This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
How did you get pulled then from being with, you know, the long tail, bottom of the pyramid segment, all the way to, you know, the larger enterprise customers? What happened where you decided to move away from one segment and focus on the other and go upstream?
Oh, it was so sad because we like, I think, you know, founders, you just want to like build everything for everyone and like solve problems and like be this big giant company. And, you know, you think you can just kind of do everything, but, it's just the constraints of, you don't have enough money to have enough software engineers to solve every problem for everyone all the time. Right. And so, it's just kind of like that forcing function of like that natural forcing function of like the requirement of focus in order to grow. And it's, you know, it's hard. It was especially hard for me because I thought a lot about a lot of those relationships I cultivated. Like I'm thinking of, you know, this property management company on Queen Anne Hill. It's like, I probably went by there 15 times. You know, I think I finally got a meeting when I showed up with a 6-pack of beer at the end of the day on Friday. And I was like, I'm not getting off your doorstep until you like take a meeting with me. Like, let's have a beer and then I'll let you go home. And like, to then, you know, 6 months later, I have to turn around and fire that customer because we were shifting focus to a different customer type. It was brutal for me personally. You got to focus, you know?
It's an emotionally charged journey because those first few customers, they believed in you. They took a chance on you. Yeah. And you remember how hard you had to slug to get them, right? I remember when I in a different industry in mobile advertising, I was trying to get apps to work with me, to integrate my technology. And I used to play their games nonstop. I used to send them feedback. If they had a leaderboard, I'd make sure me or my team are in the top 10 so we get their attention. And then, you know, one day you realize like this long tail segment isn't necessarily right for our business. And we need a more, and I think generally, I'm going to give a generalization here. You can help fill in the gaps because you're every day here selling to these different segments. So you understand the segments, right? And being on the board of a few companies that also do this, my sort of understanding there is that mom and pop, let's just say property management base, right? Or owner base. It's a lot of hard work to service that market.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of churn because some of these guys, you know, will go out of business. Mm-hmm. That does tend to happen, right? They also, you know, might have to cut back on budget from every now and then because their income stream isn't as stable. There's no guaranteed budget there that you can necessarily grow, and your growth is limited to their growth. Right. Mm-hmm. And in theory, it sounds great to have a lot of mom and pops, but it's not like a VC portfolio. Power law returns do not apply to real estate growth. Right.
Yeah.
And then obviously, if you go with the larger enterprise segment, which is what I keep referring to it as, those contracts are huge. One of those contracts could be hundreds or thousands of smaller contracts. But the sales cycles kill you.
You're totally right. There's trade-offs, but I think, and it's actually quite sad for the longer tail of the market, right? That the dynamics of, you know, the go-to-market or the distribution challenges for a technology company down market make it so difficult. You know, it's so fragmented. It's so difficult that it's like hard for technology to permeate that space. And that's actually like a corner of the market that probably needs like technology more than other areas, where like a few percentage points of efficiency, you know, can make such a big difference to the return profile for an investor in like a single family home or a duplex. But like just the market dynamics make it so difficult for technology to kind of permeate that space. I mean, that's why I have so much respect for like AppFolio. They're a, you know, publicly traded company, and they've dominated that long tail of the market, right? Like the Monpa kind of, property management companies kind of down market, like doing what they did, you know, they, I think they, you know, as an example, kind of like shed a lot of light, you know, brought a lot of technology to a corner of the market that like wasn't using it before, which is really cool. And like multifamily in general gets a bad rap for being kind of behind the times technologically. But like the difference between the technology that like an institutional multifamily company uses and like what is available to ma and pa, you know, providers, like it's very, you know, it is very different.
So diving into the institutional side, what do you see in terms of, you know, owner operated and self-managed versus bringing in third party management, and any other intriguing, you know, trends that you're seeing? Like one trend I'm seeing is institutions, and you know, we're an institution too, a lot more interest in single family rentals as an asset class, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But you know, that first question, is there a trend? Is there a certain prototype of a customer that will self-manage versus have third party fee managers?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one trend that if you're kind of, obviously it's sort of an altitude question, like depending on how you're kind of looking at the market, but say at the highest level, you know, a trend that we continue to see is consolidation, right? Like property management companies buying other property management companies, you know, combining forces and kind of consolidating. And so, you know, we see it all the time where like one customer buys another customer's business, or, you know, our customer, one of our customers will acquire someone who we're not working with yet. And it's, you know, from our perspective, it's awesome kind of organic growth. Like we call those like acquisitions, you know, it's like acquisition bookings. And it's great because, it just kind of like we grow our platform as they consolidate. So I think that that trend is, it's real. It exists in within multifamily, institutional multifamily. And like, you know, I bet Greystar has got to be close to 1 million units now, you know, or something like that. It's like, that's probably was like unfathomable, to people that there could be like one entity managing, you know, over 1 million units. I don't know if they're across that mark yet, but I do think like consolidation is here to stay. As far as like owner manage versus kind of fee manage, you know, that's such a, so many driving forces there. I think like, yeah, at some point you get enough scale, you know, you invest and at some point you go, yeah, maybe I don't want to pay a, you know, a third party manager to manage the properties, or I think I've got the economies of scale. I can kind of do it in-house myself. You know, then things kind of go the other way too, where people, I don't know. I feel like I see so many different dynamics kind of drive those decisions. But sure, I think that like, as you know, as investors, you know, acquire more and more, like I talk to a lot of, you know, ownership groups who, you know, kind of tell me, hey, like their intention is to scale to a point where they can manage things in-house themselves. Or once they get, you know, 5 assets in a particular market, then they take management in-house. But until they have 5 assets in a specific market, they're going to continue to hire a local management company to manage those assets for them. But I don't know. The only real trend I could say there is just like consolidation is like, it's definitely like continues to happen quickly.
You know, it's interesting because I also don't see any patterns. I tend to find sometimes it's down to the founding DNA of who started the firm. You know, if it's a construction background, then likelihood that their secret sauce might be they're really good on the GC side and development side. It might be, you know, they're just amazing capital raisers and they've created an amazing syndication platform. Or, you know, it might be that they came from property management, they've managed things in-house, now they're opening up to, you know, third parties and they just become a really cool, you know, not really cool, but really this is their core focus. Yeah. That's really it though, you know, I think one reason why a lot of large institutional investors and across the whole pyramid do not self-manage, because the tools and technology haven't really existed. AppFolio is an example of a company that's now empowering your mom and pop owners, right? To even take on and self-manage. But the tools and technology haven't existed. I guess you guys are part of this trend where you're bringing technology and letting operations be a strength for people.
Yeah, that's a great observation. And I think that, I'm kind of pinching myself for not probably have coming up with that, because I've talked about that before and I should have mentioned it, but like not to take away your insight. But no, you're absolutely right. I think that technology is enabling, you know, more streamlined operations. It kind of you know, to some extent you could say it kind of eliminates the, for some, you know, for some portion of the market that would otherwise have used a fee management business to kind of handle like operations for them. You know, there's some portion of the market that says, you know what, like, because I've got these technology tools, you know, I can just do this myself. But, you know, that's, I just think that there's also, like you said, there's so many investors or investor types out there who have no business, you know, operating assets, and they're good at development or they're good at, you know, raising capital, but they don't want to operate the assets. And I just don't think there's ever not going to be third party property management out there. And like, we work with some incredible owner operators, and we also work with some incredible fee managers who, you know, I think are really kind of pushing the limits of efficiencies. And it's, you know, it doesn't need to be an owner operator, you know, who's kind of driving towards efficiency. Although the incentives are a little more aligned.
Yeah, and you even mentioned too, sometimes it comes down to geographical proximity or asset focus.
Sure. Like,
you know, we're multi-asset focused. We do industrial warehouses, hospitality assets, multifamily, senior care facilities. I mean, you know, you name it, right? There's a lot of stuff we do. Well, there's no way in hell we can think about that. The way I think about it for us and our sort of persona is, we're in the business of doing two things, right? We raise money and we find deals. And that's what we need to focus. The rest of it, we need to outsource and bring in great experts and just pray that they use good technology like Knock, you know? So yeah, they can do a good job.
It's also, you know, it's a fun, I love talking about this dynamic for people that are kind of new to the dynamics of this vertical. Just some of the interesting kind of political dynamics between, you know, when you're selling a technology or a tool to owner operators versus fee managers, because like, just to give you like a simple example is, you can, you know, try really hard to get, say, a large fee management company to adopt your product. And, you know, they're operating on thin margins. They are, you know, focused on, you know, their primary thing is like, let's go bring on more owners and grow our fee management business, right? So you're going, oh man, I really want this fee manager to adopt my great CRM software. We'll just pick on us for a minute. And so you go to, you find out, like you talk to, you know, ABC Capital, which is an ownership group that works, that whose buildings are managed by that fee manager. And you go and you get them really jazzed up, and the owner's like, dude, I want your software and my assets. So they kind of call the fee manager and they say, hey, I want you to put Knock or whatever, you know, service on my assets. And, you know, that can be a brilliant foot in the door, right? Like sometimes that leverage that you can get from an owner, you know, can be the, like that gets the attention of the people that have refused to take a meeting or whatever. And sometimes, you know, for us that's been like that's helped us land some of our bigger customers and best longest customers. But it's also sometimes can really backfire on you because, you know, the fee manager's like, listen, you know, I was busy. I had good, you know, many good reasons why I didn't take your call. Now you're talking to the owner, you know, my customer, and you're kind of pitting your customer against me, making me look stupid. Like, well, why haven't I budged and tried to innovate or whatever? And it can lead to some seriously funky dynamics. And so, you know, I just think that's one that every supplier in the industry, like if you go to a conference, like we always will talk about those dynamics. Cause like sometimes, you know, sometimes the fee managers are like, yeah, like we encourage it because, you know, that kind of twists our arm to adopt new technologies and we kind of need that push. Other times they just like hate it. And it's kind of funny, like, you know, it's just a very funny dynamic that I don't think a lot of people, you know about multifamily.
Yeah, and also the corporate structure of each property management firm is so different. Lincoln Property Company is so different to Greystar, which is so different to AMC or whatever you put out there. And sometimes you have this problem in PropTech, I noticed too, where it feels like you can have an amazing corporate partnership, you have an MSA agreement in place to get your technology pushed. But sometimes when technology is coming from central, right, to the regional offices, it's rejected. Like sometimes the regional office themselves wants to decide what technology and tools to use, and they don't want like JLL HQ or Greystar HQ telling them what to do.
I think, yeah, and I think that 5 years ago, 10 years, I mean, we haven't been around for 10 years, but like, I think that was definitely more like that that general kind of attitude or sort of behavior was more prevalent in the past. I think now, just because there's such a desire for data and, like, you know, technology is like cloud-based technology is kind of enable, you know, they've enabled centralized like buying and centralized kind of dissemination of, you know, technologies. I think that's probably a trend that's pretty well entrenched too, is like, you don't like regionals or property managers, like they don't have a whole lot of autonomy anymore on like budget for what systems or advertising partners or whatever their properties are going to use, which again, not to say it doesn't happen or there's not people influencing one thing or another, definitely happens. But I think I see that far less than I did 5 years ago.
Interesting observation. Well, Dimitri, it's been a pleasure having you on. How can people reach you or the company if they want to learn more and become a customer potentially?
Yeah. So anybody that wants to learn more about Knock, please go to knockcrm.com and fill out a demo request form and indicate you checked out, you heard about us on this podcast. And if you do, I'll see if I can join and introduce myself. Love learning about, you know, new businesses. And that's one of the coolest things. Just before we kind of wrap up, I'll tell you, like, not being from this industry, learning about the stories of how a lot of these multifamily companies were built, the people and the, just, you know, these are long-term assets. And so a lot of these are like multi-generational companies. And I think the coolest thing about multifamily for people that are interested in it is, it's like, I used to work for a big Swiss bank. And so you'd go to a conference and it's like, it's all suits, right? It's like the suit party. But in multifamily, you know, these are expensive assets with, you know, big, they're big deals, and you got kind of the suits. But you also, in order to operate a multifamily property, like, you need plumbers and electricians and maintenance. And if you're an investor, you can get your ass, you know, handed to you if you don't have a strong kind of maintenance, kind of the blue collar kind of element to the business as a strength. The contractors, you know, whatever, you'll just, you know, your business is going to get destroyed. And then, like, if you have a 200 unit apartment community with 300-400 people living in it, these are people's homes. I mean, there's like floods and fires and pets and, you know, happy moments and sad moments. And there's a lot of like kind of dignity, you know, it's like where people live, and it's like retail and customer service. And so, you know, for one successful multifamily business to operate, like, it truly brings together like the strengths of kind of like the finance business side of things, like the real world assets and like asset operations, and then like the human kind of component to it. And I just, like, absolutely obsessed with serving this customer. And it's like, you know, 100-year-long, you know, assets going to be there for 100 years, kind of doing the same thing. We're not going to out evolve our need for shelter anytime soon. So just feel really blessed and lucky to be able to build tools and technology for this vertical. And I really appreciate you having me. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. And I think one key thing I'd add to that is, you really create a different business that cares about its customers at the core. When you don't look at a house as a house, but as a home, where some people live there, stories are made, lives are made, memories are made. And if you're in the business of empowering your customers to deliver a better living experience, there is no more motivating vision than that. Whereas if you're in it for the money, you're going to get bored pretty quickly, because it's a very boring industry, actually. There's a lot of dynamics to this industry that, you know, is why lots of
people talk about it. Yeah, it's not easy.
But thank you so much, Dimitri.
Yeah, pleasure talking to you, Zane.
Likewise.